بالعكس. Great, we're live. Hi everyone and welcome to Online Events Made Simple. I'm your host today, I'm Rianne, and I'm the Marketing and Events Manager at Eventmind. And today I'm joined by the lovely Ruby Sweeney. Ruby, did you want to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Rianne. Afternoon, everyone. I hope you're all really well this beautiful Monday. And as Rianne said, I'm Ruby Sweeney of the Events Hub. And we are a virtual and hybrid and live events specialist agency.
Super exciting. So yeah, you're the founder of the Events Hub. What made you come up with the motive? Is this a pre-COVID company? How did you come up with the idea?
So our business is going to be 10 in November, which is amazing.
Yeah.
It was very much built on being a live conference and events organization business. And the idea is to give a really expert conference and event management service to clients who typically aren't able to access services like ours, but still need professional touch, look, feel, planning, taking the stress away, taking the anxiety away, you know, all those kind of feelings that come with events, because I think events have this nature of being all consuming. So you kind of set out with the best intentions for an event to be, you know, this thing, and you might have objectives, and if you haven't, then you work with your event planner to create clear objectives. But the idea is that you have this thing which you expect that you'll be able to sort of wrangle and have control over, and then as it goes on, as time goes on, this event starts to get a little bit, you know, more cooks come in and
very true.
And suddenly an event or a conference or an AGM or even sort of a meeting can become this all-consuming thing. So my why way back pre-COVID, when I started the business, was to help people who don't have access to that expert event management, but also to help that thing from spiraling out of control and becoming political, and suddenly everyone in the office is involved and you're having meetings about an event, you know, and it just
happened.
So my thing has always been that we want to run events for people and keep a lid on it and allow them to shape what that event is going to be like, but at the same time we're making sure deadlines are being stuck to, making sure that the marketing campaign's happening, we're keeping a check on social media, we're doing all these things, and we're being that one touch point for all these various people. So that's still very much a very strong why of the business, and the whole kind of having an event with a purpose, with a soul, with objectives, with a plan is another really important thing for me. So post-COVID and where we are now, it became more prevalent that actually we have to be so clear, because now there's nowhere to hide. And there's no way of going, actually, you know, we're running this event because we've always run it, and things like that. So I'm passionate about making sure that events run with a purpose, with a reason. And people are there because they want to be there, whether it's your staff or whether it's your delegates. People want to be there and they're bought into it. So that's my kind of thought process. But
it sounds super interesting. I think, like you said, it can be such a stressful thing. And like, I have a live events background, and I used to be in a small team of four people, but would always get, like you said, have a meeting about a meeting, and it just gets ridiculous. I think it's so good to know there's an external body there to help you, because it can be so stressful.
Yeah, it's so stressful, and I think it can just take over everything else. And people have a day job, and if you're paying people to do that job, but suddenly they're doing something else. So I've got a couple of examples. One of my clients is a consultant, and before we came on, he was spending, I think out of his 365 days of the year, he said he spent 60 days of his year working on his conference. Now, if you look that is a sixth of your year, and that is bonkers.
That is crazy.
Another client used to get their HR team to organize their staff conference, and it would take four or five people out of HR. So I think it went up to about six or seven eventually to run a conference. So they had to stop doing HR for 3 months. You think, where's the sense in that? Actually bring in an events company. They can juggle your project along with other things, along with everything you throw at them, and still keep things going whilst your HR, your marketing, or your office managers can do what they're meant to be doing. So the idea is that we want people to be focused on what they're able to do and what they're good at, And by doing that, you do reduce stress levels, because the reason people get stressed is because it's not their skill, you know, it's not their expertise. So again, I'm very vocal about these things. And I think people should, especially directors of businesses or, you know, heads of departments, should think about when they're handing something like an event over, they might just think, oh, it's just an event, we can sort it in house. Yeah. But actually, when it becomes this monster, when it becomes stressful and time consuming and all the rest of it, you do have to question whether it's worthwhile keeping it in house.
So true. Yeah. And even in terms of events, it doesn't even need to be a big event and it can be stressful. You know, even just organizing a meeting, a virtual meeting, there's always going to be hiccups, which we've come across. So it just shows that, you know, I think that a lot of people have kind of the stigma that virtual events are easy, you know, you just chuck it all online, but it's not, it's actually so stressful.
It is. It's actually harder to run a virtual event, I personally think, but
yeah,
I also think that that's a good thing, because what it makes us do is it makes us question, again, going back to that, what is the strategy? What is this formal meeting for? What is this conference for? You know, if somebody wants to run some sort of get together, what are we trying to achieve out of it?
Yeah.
We just want to get our people together. Is not good enough. Is it to get them to network? Is it to get them to educate? Is it to get them to share? Whether it's internal staff, whether it's external people, you know, there is a lot of thinking that we have to do. And in the virtual world, everybody's exposed in that sense, you know.
Yeah, so true.
Hide behind, oh, we'll sort it out when we get to the venue, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying that was hiding back then, or it will so when life gets come back, but it's just a case of actually just thinking something will be sorted out a bit later on cannot be done in
the yeah
rigorously go through every tiny bit of detail in the virtual world. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's definitely positive.
Yes, completely agree. And like you mentioned, you do live, hybrid, virtual. How have you found the shift from the past year? I mean, for every event company out there, they found it tough. How did you find it kind of juggling all three different elements?
Yeah, massive, massive learning curve, Rianne. Really big. Last year was challenging and painful and difficult. And I think for most events companies, primarily from a financial perspective,
yeah, because definitely.
First things to get cancelled were live interaction events, yes, conferences, festivals, you know, you name it. We all just kind of cancelled, shelved, gone. Whether they were rescheduled and then rescheduled again. And then, you know, people have got to a point where they've had to cancel or reschedule something three or four times and then gone,
yeah,
it. I think we're just going to wait. So,
yeah,
again, there's that process that clients have been through. So it was really difficult. And we did... we made mistakes, you know, I'll put my hands up and say we did demos and we did all sorts of things that we weren't ready for, but we did them and they were
beautiful.
But they were, again, you know, that pain is where learning comes from. And I think if we got comfortable from the offset, we wouldn't have had the learning and the growth that we've had now. So I genuinely believe that that's been part of the process. And it also solidified in my head that I'm not becoming something else. I'm still very much that person, that events manager, that consultant that I was a year ago. It's just the medium has changed and the process has changed and mindset has changed. So yes, there's been a heck of a lot of change, but I essentially am still honing my skills. I haven't retrained to be something else. And I'm learning and I'm bringing in partners where my skills don't lie. So I think that production of an event is not what I will do. We do it sort of as part of our services, but with our production partner. So things like collaborations, massive in the past year, huge.
Absolutely.
Really, really positive. But on the negative side, things like finance and cash flow were horrendous. But again, I use that time to think, I'm not quitting. I'm not a quitter.
Yeah.
How can I do this differently? And more importantly, my one why was, you know, my one goal was I want to continue to serve my clients. So it's that kind of servant leadership piece, you know, that I just want to be of service.
And
if we change the medium or the format or the delivery or the process, that's fine. Our clients will actually respect us for that. And they have, and they are. And we are continuing to get a stack of new clients because of the work that we've done and the foundations that were laid last year. So I can only see it as a positive, but you know, there has been pain. I'm not saying that. I'm just not dwelling on that. I'm moving on from that and I'm using the pain to learn and to see that as a positive thing. So
yeah,
change within me personally from a growth perspective. But what I'm saying is that I haven't, you know, retrained to be someone else. I'm still that person delivering a service that's at a really sort of high level. So
yeah, I think that's something that a lot of event organizers just need to remember. It's still the same job, it's just adapting.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Any other job, I suppose, any other job, you know, you're always going to adapt. Like lecturers are now having to adapt, and I mean everyone else. So I think that's a really good mindset that you've had, just to kind of crack on with it and just hope that everything gets better. But yeah, that's great. And I think that's a really good point as well that you touched on with, you know, externally sourcing your production company, or I don't know, finance, if you're struggling with your finance, or that's such an important part. Because I think a lot of people just seen it as, you know, we've got a team of three, let's just try. I think externally sourcing is such a big thing.
Absolutely. And there are so many schemes out there right now, whether you want to employ an intern or an apprentice or something else, or get funding for something. And so from a financial perspective, it's not the fact that you have to have a huge financial outlay.
Yeah.
You can find schemes and go through sort of business support schemes or your council, whoever it is, to get support on how you can bring people in to help you support what you're doing without having to spend huge amounts on expensive consultants or expensive outsourcing. And I know cash flow is going to be a big thing for people in our at the moment. So there are ways of working around that. And there are some phenomenal event grads out there as well. So
there is, yeah.
It's remembering things like that and tapping into those sorts of, you know, graduates or schemes, or just finding out what else is out there, because there is help and support, you know, there's definitely help and support there.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely think, like you said, you know, the support has been amazing the past year. I think a lot of people are now realizing, you know, we all need to work together. Collaboration has been massive, which I think is just so nice, because it just brings everyone in the industry together. And it just shows, like, everyone is so strong within events, which is amazing. And what trends do you think you're expecting to see in the next year? I mean, the past year, obviously, we've seen the rise of virtual events, event technology. I mean, hybrid has been, you know, a topic that everyone's now talking about. What do you expect to see in the next year?
In the next year, hybrid, yes, 100%. Yeah. I think that hybrid will not only be a trend for each event in its entirety, but I think organizations are going to maximize hybrid throughout their calendars. So
yeah,
looking at a calendar, and this is what we're doing, is looking, sitting down with the client and going, right, you know, this monthly meeting, for example, purely virtual, this thing a hybrid event, this thing, okay, we'll make it social face-to-face, you know, that kind of planning.
Yeah.
At the same time, also planning a contingency. So I think not taking that one format or medium as the absolute, as the absolute. It's making sure that there is a contingency plan for each of those events. And again, what that helps us do is scrutinize every activity that we do and actually weed out the ones that don't have a clear objective or a strategy. And yeah, I think that's really important. And in a time where there is so much noise, and we've got social media, and we've got, you know, people saying, oh, you know, yet another Zoom meeting or whatever it is, we have to then really streamline our activities. And there might be certain events that actually would be better off being a social media campaign or an email campaign or a whole sort of marketing campaign. So we really do have to understand what each activity that we do as a business actually does.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is also that understanding that a virtual event or a hybrid event has got this long shelf life, you know, they've got a longer lifespan.
Yeah.
Than perhaps a flagship event that you kind of build up to in a year has. So there's kind of that piece. But also some of the other trends apart from hybrid are things like AI, you know, virtual reality, augmented reality, all this kind of stuff is coming into events and we can't ignore it.
Yeah.
So from an event tech perspective, these sorts of things that perhaps, you know, even people like myself, I've got my hands up and admit it, but, you know, event tech wasn't high up on my agenda 15 months ago. And so those sorts of elements that will come into events, we can no longer ignore.
Yeah.
And then I think the other things are experiential, you know, really getting an event to evoke all the senses and just kind of getting people really engaged and increasing that engagement level. And I think the other thing that's really quite sort of fascinating will be social events. I think social events have got massive potential moving forward, whether it's leisure social or business social. So that's a big area. I think we'll see a lot of innovation coming into that. a lot of creativity coming in. But also, you know, I talk to people like charities and people who need to fundraise, and they're struggling because at the moment they can't foresee what that looks like for them, and they don't have the investment to put into a virtual event. So how do charities and organizations like that maximize the virtual or the hybrid moving forward? So that's quite interesting. And I did have another point, and I can't remember it. That was really important.
It will come back.
Yeah, I'll shout when it does. But I think also, you know, international conferences, I think will continue to, or international gatherings will continue to be fully sort of very virtual orientated. Yeah, and then perhaps you can have this local kind of hubs where people come together. I remembered what it was now. And then my final one is online communities. So people come together. And again, this is the piece around trying to get people attending an event when there's so much noise in your sector or in your space. So how do you do that? So having a community that's already got a vested interest. So whether it's your employees or whether it's around a particular idea or a sector or a theme or a market, is building that online community throughout the year and not just like lead up to an event, because there's that sort of momentum just won't be sustainable, I don't think, moving forward. And then lastly, I think the environmental piece that comes in, you know, the climate
massive
change, sustainability, and again, when it comes to virtual events, that's brilliant because we can achieve so much more in a shorter space of time when we're delivering a virtual event, but also from a sustainability piece in terms of people's travel, particularly international. So there's, you know, this huge amount of stuff that is happening, whether it's technological or environmental, and it's capitalizing on what works best for each organization, and then within that organization, each event and each activity. But also there's got to be the mindset that when you look at an event, and we're having this challenge when we're looking at budgets with clients, is understanding actually an event budget now isn't what an event budget used to be. Because people go, why is it still this amount or more when we're not feeding them, we're not housing them, we're not taking them for a meal, you know? So there's people expecting this kind of justification of costs. So that's a big kind of mindset piece. So there's education that we need to do as well as organizers to get to understand that actually a virtual event or a hybrid event, you know, ticks all of these boxes as well as those ones. So we do need more budget to put these things on. That event's got a longer lifespan, and also it's achieving, you know, a half a dozen other things. So there's stacks, there's absolute stacks, Rhianne.
I think it's so exciting because, like, we just don't know what's going to happen, but I completely agree with all of those points. I mean, AI and VR has been massive, and I mean, it's super interesting. I don't understand all the technological stuff, but some of the things you can do and some of the things platforms offer now is just crazy. Like, I went on a platform recently where you're like a little avatar, and I'm just like, this is so fun. Like, I think people, we've just recruited some interns, and I think a lot of them kind of don't understand until you see it. You just think, oh, it's just like a Zoom call. But actually, there's so much you can do. I think it's super exciting.
It is. It is. The innovation is phenomenal. And it's not just what the platforms can do. It's what people are doing with the platform technology, which is really interesting, because the great thing about people like us, the position that we have, is that we get visibility of what others are doing. And that's within our sector or outside of our sector, or whether it's, you know, our clients or, you know, people who aren't our clients. And there's just all this creativity going on that we should be learning from. And actually what's happened in the past is great, but we need to build on what we've done before because we're going into a new world. So when we also talk about face-to-face events, we need to understand that they will also move on and will have moved on from what the physical events were before. So we have to keep an open mind. We have to be flexible. And I think what I'm seeing with some people in our industry is that they are perhaps being less flexible. And so that impacts on how they are with their clients or what they suggest to their clients and what they recommend and how they plan events moving forward. So I think we have a responsibility to be open-minded for the sake of our clients and for the service that we're providing.
Definitely. And I know you touched on your client. Your clients saying they have stuck by you so strong, which is amazing. I'm sure for a lot of event organizers out there who maybe didn't make the move to virtual, their clients we're now seeing drop away, because I think, you know, I think a lot of people seen virtual events as like a fab, like a 3-month thing, and now they're still here. So yeah, I think it just shows as well for any event organizers listening, you know, a virtual event isn't a trend. It's actually something you need to get behind to keep your clients, because they are going to want to try them out, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this resistance, and this is one thing that does really bother me, and I might ruffle a few feathers by saying this, but there is a lot of resistance from our industry, because we're very, you know, seen a lot of discussions about, yeah, but we're about kind of live events, face-to-face, social, blah, blah, blah. But actually, what we need to understand is that the virtual and hybrid world allows us to bring everything together. So actually, if we hold our clients' hands through this virtual hybrid journey, who else are they going to come to when it comes to their live event? I mean, it's it just makes sense. And not having visibility of their virtual activities, but then working on their live events, doesn't give us the big, the, you know, the bigger picture, the overall picture. So for me, I like to have this holistic view of what my clients are doing, even if it isn't events. So one of our USPs is that we get so embedded with the client's activities and their strategies and their plans and their growth, that that kind of business growth and everything else becomes embedded, so that we are part of their journey of growth and they are part of our journey. And so we're more of a partner, kind of embedded in the center of all their activity, this hub, as opposed to being this supplier on the periphery of things that they're doing. So it's really important that as organizers, we get behind what is happening in the market, even if it means doing something that's uncomfortable, which is learning about technology or doing something, because it's not going to be perfect. We can't sit around waiting for things to be perfect.
Yeah.
Then we'll become invisible. So either we move forward and it's painful and it's challenging and we make mistakes and it's difficult, or we sit and then the world overtakes us and then we
get to see
what our clients want. And actually, we then run the risk of our clients going, well, that, you know, events company is far more forward thinking than our one that we haven't done anything with for 18 months. And, you know, question mark after that. So we do have to be positive. And yes, it's been a terrible time. It's been a terrible time for everyone. And so we've all just got to kind of rally together and get around each other and go, you know what, I'm going to learn this stuff. Yes, it's difficult. Or I'm going to find someone who's an expert and get to sort of show me the way. So we do
have I completely agree.
You do have to just get past that. That's the thing I'm trying to kind of get the message out to people, that it's difficult, it's hard, it's painful.
Yeah.
And I've been through that. And I can only say, just keep pushing through it and keep holding your clients' hands and do what's best for them rather than looking at what's best for us. We've got to take that responsibility of our clients seriously.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I completely agree. I think a lot of people were reluctant to go virtual, but now they're realizing, you know, it's going to stick around for a while. So I think people are now thinking like, oh crap, like I actually need to start organizing them. But no, it's great. I mean, that's a great success story, because you're still here, you're still alive, you know, the business is still going. So it just shows that it does work. But I completely agree, stick around with your clients. Otherwise they will kind of go with someone who is forward thinking and organizing them, because they're going to want to try virtual events. I mean, everyone's wanted to, haven't they?
Absolutely. And we're all learning. That's the point. When end of last year, sort of, you know, summer, autumn last year, we first started doing our first virtual events, we were learning, our clients were learning, our production team were learning, and we were all learning together. And like I said, we, you know, we did things that were that we were weren't ready for, and you know, there were lots of kind of pain points along the way, but you've got to just get out there. And the trouble is that some event organizers are going to come back into a world that they don't recognize. And that's going to be painful now, whereas my pain is behind me.
Yeah.
You know, hope that the worst of it is over. And there's going to be a lot more to come that's going to be positive. So we've got to put, and this is my mission, is to put that positivity back into our industry. And I know I'm only a you know, a small business, and I'm not in a city, and I kind of, I guess I'm the kind of the anti, the absolute opposite of of an events company, because of my setup and my, you know, I'm very open and candid and all the rest of it. But these things have helped me to understand that we have got to move forward. We have really got to move forward. And, you know, you don't need to be in a big city to be a successful events business. You've got to embrace virtual, even if it's painful, even if it's not what you've done for the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years of your career. And also that small businesses are agile, and that we can adapt and flex a lot better than our bigger colleagues have. So
that's just what I was about to say. Coming from a small business, I mean, if you can do it, a larger business can. You know, you're going to have they're going to have more colleagues to be able to help. So it just shows that you can, anyone can get through it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And as we do, we will grow. We will require freelancers. We will require outsourcing. We will grow as a model and as an organization through collaborations and through pushing through this difficult time, because we will attract clients due to the work that we're doing, to the visibility that we have. And sadly, those that aren't visible will be forgotten about. I'm sorry to say, that's just kind of where it will go, because we've got to keep up with it. I mean, I'm working in this area now of virtual and hybrid events, and every day I learn something new. Every day something else pops up. There's a new platform. There's a different way of doing something. So if I'm working in it and I'm still going, oh, that's new, you know, what's the shiny new thing? Mm. If I've been away from the industry or away from my work for 12 months or so, how different is it going to be back? So it definitely is about that mindset. And for me, it's been about instilling that growth mindset and going, I'm not quitting. I just want to keep working with my clients. I will do what I need to do to push through that pain and just get to a really good place. Yeah. And that was it. That was my thought back kind of last summer, spring. Mm. And I've just pushed through the pain. I've had to do it.
Yeah, I think you have a great mindset. I think everyone needs your mindset and positivity. You can push yourself out of the comfort zone, because a lot of people are probably thinking like, oh, I need to actually try it now. So it just shows that it does work. And it's so great knowing that it's all gone well for a smaller company as well, who may have less colleagues. And from an event organizer point of view, I mean, how have you found organizing virtual compared to live? So I know you have your little 7-step process, which is super interesting. How do you think the organization is different, or like for managing a successful event, how have you found that for your clients?
Yeah, it's organization is different, and there's a ridiculous amount of admin that we have to do for a virtual event, which is something that you can't glaze over, because we have platforms, we have production, we have people asking for answers to questions about you know, all sorts of things. So there's a huge amount of admin. So we've got to be prepared for that. We've got to have the setup for people in the team, or VAs, or you know, bringing in sort of freelance staff to help with that admin. So again, going back to the mistakes that I was talking about last year, the admin side of things, I completely underestimated. So because I'd underestimated, I'd massively underquoted for events. So our first couple of events, I lost a ridiculous amount of money and stupid amounts of time. But again, from that pain, I realized, right, this is a baseline for our projects. This is, so you start to benchmark against the difficult situations that you had through the first experiences. So for me, it was about understanding a new process, building in a new process, and scrutinizing everything. But it's still fun because it's something different, you know, it's you're challenging yourself, you're pushing yourself, and you're asking lots of questions. And again, there's no hiding behind a sort of mediocre event in that sense. You have to go over so much and scrutinize and question. Actually, you'd run out of steam if you were doing something half-assed like that. So it's really important to factor in huge amounts of admin. You can't just, you know, we'll get to the venue, we'll sort it out. That's not, that can't happen now. It's just, you've got to go over all the fine details, all the processes. Deadlines are really important. And, you know, I think it's easier to push deadlines sometimes when you're in a physical environment or a physical event. But when you're in a virtual, it is a bit harder because it impacts everything else. So my advice would be to make sure there's that admin support, because there's a lot of admin that needs to go into a virtual event, and it can be a bit harder, but the rewards can be better. And like I said, the shelf life of a virtual event can be longer as well. So
definitely. No, that was great. I've pushed the 30-minute mark, so I was just enjoying it too much, but that was so interesting. Thank you for coming on, Ruby. And where can people come and find you? Because I'm sure they're going to want to reach out.
Yeah, so I'm on Clubhouse. I'm still exploring Clubhouse, kind of finding you'll find me jumping onto quite a few of the event prof conversations. And I'm also very active on LinkedIn, and I have a website, which is theeventshub.com, and the links to all my social media channels, so Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, can all be found there as well. Also on Instagram as the Events Hub, but also as Ruby Sweeney. And I'm willing to have a chat with anyone. If anyone wants any advice or wants to kind of discuss virtual events and more. You'll find me all of those places and more.
Lovely. It was so nice actually hearing a success story, because I think it's been very 50-50. So it's really nice to hear a positive story from such a positive person as well. It's been lovely.
Thanks, Rhianne.
Thank you so much for coming on. And for everyone listening, if you do have any questions, then feel free to pop me or Ruby a question, or pop it on the Facebook Live and I will go back and answer them. But we will see you all next time.
Thank you so much.